All right, welcome. I've got a bombshell update for you about my quest as a lab scientist, a published scientist, and a lab owner. My quest to try to find any physical sample of COVID-19 virus that has been isolated and purified as a certified reference material, or CRM. This has been my quest now. For some reason, I've just been on this trying to find, can anybody sell my lab even, you know, weakened versions of this? Is there such a thing as a vial of COVID-19 virus particles? And so far, the answer has been absolutely not. There isn't. And I did a podcast recently called Digital Delusion, Zero Evidence That COVID-19 Virus Exists in the Physical World. Now, that may not have been the best title. There are, of course, lots of viruses in the physical world, but I have zero evidence of anything that is a novel COVID-19 virus that isn't just a bunch of common cold and common flu coronaviruses mixed with human cells, DNA, and bovine cell DNA, and so on. In other words, there's zero evidence that COVID-19 has been isolated and made available as a reference material. Now, a listener of that podcast was kind enough to send us a link to a company called BEI Resources that claims to sell COVID-19 virus isolates. And when I received this, I was really excited to see, you know, gosh, because I've been asking for help on this. Because I'm not a virologist. You know, I do food science mass spec testing, so I'm not an expert in the world of virology, but I am a scientist, and I can think, you know, I can use logic and reason. So a reader sent me this link, and they said, hey, yeah, here's where you can buy an isolate of SARS coronavirus 2. It's called an isolate. In fact, the NR number is 52286. And so I was excited, and I checked it out, and guess what I discovered? It's not an isolate, and it's not even COVID. And that's what I'm going to explain here. It's shocking. It is shocking, the degree of total fraud. And to this day, I still can't find any isolated COVID-19 virus nanoparticles as an external standard or what's called a certified reference material, CRM. Now, just for background on that, it's critical to understand, you know, my lab tests food for pesticides, herbicides, microbiology, as well as elements such as lead and cadmium and arsenic and so on, and also nutritive elements such as zinc and magnesium. And in every case, when we test something, we have to calibrate our instruments, our very expensive instruments, you know. One of our triple quad mass specs is something like 400,000 plus. It's hard to quote an exact price because you have to throw in the annual, like the annual maintenance is another 35 or 40,000. So allow me to explain what an isolate actually means in this world of virology, because it doesn't mean what you and I would normally refer to as an isolate. You know, if you isolate something, that means you've filtered it out and you have a purified version of that thing, whatever that is. Like if you isolate, I don't know, if you isolate, you know, gravel out of dirt, then you end up with a bucket of gravel and then excess dirt that's not part of that isolate, right? But when they say that they've isolated a virus, they don't mean an isolate. What they mean is that they sampled the tissue of a person who showed symptoms and was diagnosed just by a doctor or the CDC, was just said to have COVID. So they take the cells, in some cases as kidney cells, in some cases as lung cells, as whatever. And then they take that sample, which consists of human cellular material and cellular waste products, you know, exogenous cell material, as well as all kinds of viruses, cold viruses, flu viruses, whatever else is circulating in the person's blood. And then they replicate that using bovine serum typically, or sometimes they use chicken eggs or whatever, or, you know, African green monkey kidney cells or whatever that they're doing. It's all bizarre, putrid stuff. So then they're adding animal material to the human cell material, which they say contains COVID. And that is called an isolate. But it isn't an isolate. It's this combination of all this bizarre material. And then the CDC provides the label and says, oh, this is COVID. I know it sounds bizarre. I'm going to have to explain this a couple more ways. So let me just go to the BEI Resources website. If you go look for their COVID isolate product, NR52286, it says that each vial contains approximately 0.5 milliliters of cell lysate and supernatant from Cercopithecus aethiops kidney cells infected with SARS-CoV-2. Okay, got it? So once again, you're saying each vial, it's a liquid, it's half a mil of cell lysate and supernatant. So what is cell lysate? Basically, it's all the proteins from all the cells, including the host, the person. So it's their human cell proteins, which can include their own DNA. It's proteins from other viruses, anything else floating around their system, and supernatant. Now, the supernatant is typically just sort of the liquid concentration that often separates in a centrifuge, it separates from physical particulate matter. So the supernatant is just the cellular stew, you might say, the cocktail of everything that isn't like big chunks. that's kind of a layperson's way to explain it. So you have half a milliliter of cell lysate and supernatant from somebody's kidney cells that they say were infected with SARS. Well, SARS-CoV-2 or COVID. But who said they were infected with COVID? The CDC. That's what it says. It's from the CDC. Well, the CDC is part of this criminal cartel. The CDC is part of the whole fakery of all of this. So they just pick people who are sick with the flu, and then they say, you have COVID. And then they send this over to these companies that replicate this. And then the companies label it COVID. And then they sell these so-called isolates, which aren't isolates. And then all the labs around the world are saying that they're finding COVID when they're not. They're finding whatever this stuff is. So let me explain this even more. For one of these SARS-CoV-2 samples there that's sold by this company, BEI Resources, here's how it says it was, quote, isolated. SARS-CoV-2 isolate, USA-WA1/2020. That means it was harvested from somebody, I think in Washington, on January of 2020. It says, quote, was isolated from an oropharyngeal swab from a patient with a respiratory illness who had recently returned from travel to the affected region of China and developed clinical disease, parentheses, COVID-19, in January 2020 in Washington, USA. And then on that same description page, it says that if you cite this, if you use this in your research and cite it, you have to say, quote, the following reagent was deposited by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. Okay. So once again, the CDC plucked a sick person off an airplane that came from China, and the CDC then decided that this person has, quote, COVID without having a COVID test, mind you. They decided this person had COVID. They harvested basically snot from this person, like lung mucus, okay? They harvested lung mucus, lung cookies, and then they sent this, they labeled it COVID, sent it to this company, and the company has been replicating that ever since. And that became the basis for COVID when there was nothing to actually validate it. All right, but there's more. In the description of this product, on the product page, it says, quote, This product is not suitable as a whole cell antigen preparation because the protein content is largely contributed by the host cell and the fetal bovine serum used during virus propagation. So, wait, what? We just got to cover that again, because they said, again, this product, which is sold as an isolate of COVID-19, which it is not, an isolate, that the protein content in the product is, quote, largely contributed by the host cell. The host is the person, and the fetal bovine serum used during virus propagation. So what is fetal bovine serum? Cow blood components, right? So they harvest blood from cows. They get the blood serum with a centrifuge, but they don't remove every virus from the cow. So you've got cow viruses and you got cow genetic material. And then you've got the host cell material. So, you know, the human being, you got their proteins and whatever else they were carrying at the time, maybe influenza, maybe coronaviruses, maybe who knows what. All kinds of crazy stuff because they just got off an airplane. Maybe they went to the meat market in China, you know, and they were exposed to like snakes and armadillos and all kinds of pangolins and stuff. So this is not an isolated COVID virus. Obviously, this is not an isolate. This is not a pile of viral particles or even in solution. This is something altogether different. This is some kind of cellular stew that's just been labeled COVID. All right, so there's more. There's a disclaimer on the BEI Resources website. There's a disclaimer on the page of the SARS-CoV-2, quote, isolate. It says, quote, BEI Resources makes no warranties or representations as to its accuracy. Citations from scientific literature and patents are provided for informational purposes only. BEI Resources does not warrant that such information has been confirmed to be accurate. Yeah, you know why they can't warrant that? Because the CDC just made it up. The CDC just mailed a bunch of snot to these guys and said, this is COVID. No, seriously, that's really what happened. Here, take a vial of snot, call it COVID. Now, but there's more. There's more to this. So not only then are we talking about the reference standards, but these aren't even called standards, by the way. They're not even called certified reference materials. You know why? Because they can't be certified. They just said, we can't even warranty that any of this is true, they said. We can't warrant that it's accurate. So these can't be called certified reference materials because they can't be certified. Whereas, you know, in my lab, I buy glyphosate at a specific concentration in a specific solvent, water, in the case of glyphosate, and it's a certified reference material because it's just glyphosate in water. It's isolated glyphosate molecules in water, and that's it. There's nothing else in the vial. Well, except maybe a small amount of air. And that's it. That's a scientific reference material. That's what I use. Apparently you can't get that with COVID. This is what we're finding out here, even when you think you're buying a quote isolate. But there's more. Let me continue. So none of these are certified reference materials. They're not even called that. They're not even called standards or reference materials at all because they aren't. It's like, you know, snot stew, like, yeah, human snot stew that we grew in chicken eggs or bovine serum or however we grew it. We took a bunch of snot from sick people and then we replicated it. And here, you can have a vial of that for $200. what a business model. It's like snot harvesting. But check this out. If you want to buy this sample, the order limit is just one. You can only buy one 0.5 milliliter vial. Now, 0.5 milliliters is a pretty small amount. I don't know if a milliliter is typically with water, that would be something like 20 drops. So half of that would be like 10 drops. Okay, so So 10 drops of purified snot, or not even purified, actually, 10 drops of snot stew. And the order limit is one. And you're only allowed to buy this twice per year if you're a laboratory. So think about this, folks. Even if this were a certified reference material, you're only allowed to buy two of them per year. I probably need to explain that when we go through standards at our lab, we've recently been doing a quantitation of cannabinoids on a single quad mass spec instrument. We go through standards like crazy. I mean, we're buying standards all the time. We're buying standards every month or two because you're using them. You know, you can't recycle the standards. You use them and then you chuck them, because the minute you open the vial, things start happening. You know, evaporation starts taking place. Concentrations begin to change. You don't then know, even a day after you've opened the vial, you don't know if it's really the same concentration that's on the label, like 1,000 micrograms per milliliter. A day later, you don't know that, so you chuck it. Once you open them, they're done for. You know, you use it that day on the instrument, and then you chuck them. Well, what does this tell you? If labs are supposed to be buying these vials to use for calibrating their own tests, they're only allowed to buy two vials per year. That's only 1 milliliter of the snot stew per year. How could you possibly calibrate your instruments and actually do quality control and confirm that you're testing what you think you're testing if you can only buy two of these vials per year? Unless you just start growing it yourself, I guess. If you're going to have, you know, a snot stew incubation chamber in your own lab, like a little closet bioterrorist, you're just growing whatever crazy crap that the CDC says causes illness. And that seems like a bad idea, because then you have, you know, things escaping from labs, which may be how this whole thing started. So I find this very suspicious. They say you can only order two of these vials per year. I couldn't run my lab if I were limited to just two vials per year of a particular standard. I couldn't function. But there's more. There's more. None of these vials claim, and this is probably the most important point, I should have mentioned this up front, none of these vials that are half a milliliter of snot stew that are labeled, you know, coronavirus, none of them have a concentration. None of them claim any concentration of, or even a particle count, like how many viral particles per milliliter, let's say, or you might say how many micrograms or nanograms of viruses per milliliter. So because none of them have this label, they just say it's half a mil, that's a volume of liquid, half a mil, and basically they're saying, well, we don't know how many viruses are in there. How could we know? I mean, basically they're saying, we don't know. It was whatever was in the snot, and then we just grew that in the cow blood. Well, people, if you don't know the concentration of the virus in the snot, how can you possibly calibrate your instruments to any kind of concentration of detection, or a limit of detection, or a limit of quantitation as it's known, LOQ? See, let me explain this. For every instrument where you're testing something, you have to know your instrument's limitations. This is all part of method development that I've done on a couple of really difficult methods. One took me like a year and a half just for glyphosate quantitation on mass spec. You have to know your instrument's limits. So you have to determine really two limits. One is the limit of detection, and the other is the limit of quantitation. So it's LOD and LOQ. So limit of detection means how low or how small of a sample can this instrument detect and just get a little tiny spike. It's like, oh, we saw some of that molecule, but we can't reliably quantitate it at that super low level. But we saw something. We just don't know how much it is. That's called LOD, limit of detection. And then there's a higher concentration that's called limit of quantitation, which means that we can reliably quant the concentration at that level, LOQ. And for something like glyphosate, we might say, okay, our limit of quantitation might be 2 nanograms per milliliter, let's say. I think that's actually really close to what we found, by the way. And that's a very tiny, tiny amount. 2 nanograms per milliliter, it might be 5 nanograms per milliliter. It's down there in single digit nanograms per milliliter. Now remember, those are billionths of a gram, okay? Billionths of a gram per milliliter. I can tell you how much glyphosate is in something at billionths of a gram. But in order to do that, I had to take a known sample, a known reference material with a known concentration, and then do serial dilutions to bring it down to all the different levels. I had to, and by the way, I've done this by hand many times. It's a lot of just boring work, but you're sitting there with a pipette, and I use Gilson pipettes because they're volumetrically very, very accurate. So I use Gilson's because, well, it's just because I'm really into accuracy on this. So we'll dilute it down to, you know, 1 microgram per mil, and then 100 nanograms per mil, 10 nanograms per mil, 1 nanogram per mil, and so on. Do a bunch of serial dilutions, and then you run each one of those in the instrument, and it tells you where you can see stuff. Well, if you're buying the COVID virus snot stew samples, and they have no, they don't even claim to have any particular concentration, you don't know how much virus is in there at all. And thus, how can you possibly tell your instrument, how can you even test your limit of quantitation or limit of detection? And then you realize, well, of course, PCR instruments don't do quantities. They can't tell you concentrations. All they do is they keep cycling, replicating until something shows up that matches some digital library of base pairs of genetic material. But how do you know that that was COVID? When this sample, this snot stew that you bought, contains, you know, cow blood viruses, human cell waste products, human cell genetic material, whatever, flus and you know, colds, corona, everything floating around in your own blood, it's all in there. Not only whole sequences, but also fragments of that, little pieces and parts of RNA material, all floating around in that, in the stew. And if you just keep cycling and turning it up, you know, just doubling, sometimes 45 times, running like a 45 cycle threshold on these PCR instruments, and you're looking for something, some base pair sequence from a digital library, you're going to find it in almost every case. You're going to find it, I mean, the false positives are going to go to almost 100%. Why? Because everybody's got all this stuff floating around. Everybody's got at least one sequence of this stuff floating around, is what I'm saying. Doesn't mean you're sick, because we are filled with not only microbes, but also genetic material, even, you know, viral material, nanoparticles of RNA and so on. It's all floating around in our blood all the time. So they're not even trying to say that with a PCR test that someone's blood has a specific viral load, you know, like nanograms per milliliter. They're not even trying to say that. They're just saying, really what they're saying is that, oh, we found something in your blood after we ran like 45 cycles. We found something that matches something in this other person's blood that we harvested snot from, who showed symptoms of illness that the CDC called COVID. They just, again, what it looks like they did, folks, what it looks like to me so far, is they just took sick people who probably had the flu, some, you know, horrible version of the common cold. They just took those people and they just labeled it COVID. And then they used that to drive this entire fake pandemic. And then they've used it to drive, you know, the fake PCR tests, the fake media hysteria. And then we get to the Delta variant, and this is another conundrum. Is there a test for Delta? Is there any test for Delta? You know, a guy named Tim Truth, he called a couple of labs and he was asking them if they have a test for the Delta variant. Now, he didn't call, you know, every lab in the world, obviously, but he's recorded it. He's got a video out there. He's talking to labs and they say, no, we don't have any tests for Delta variant. And he's saying, well, how do you know people have Delta? And they're like, we don't know. So the media is talking about everybody's got Delta. How are they determining that? Now, frankly, in order to determine that, you would have to go back to, you know, square zero here, and you'd have to have an isolated certified reference material of Delta variant virus, wouldn't you? And then we're back to square one. You don't have that. There is no certified reference material of Delta virus nanoparticles in solution or in particle, you know, dried format. You can't buy them from what I can tell. Again, I've been looking and I've had readers looking, and from everything that I can see, I have not found any place where you can buy certified reference material of any of this stuff. Not COVID-19, not the Delta, not the Lambda, nothing. There's no place where you can buy it that is a legitimate reference material. There's nothing that's labeled with concentration. There's nothing that's purified that contains just the virus. There's nothing that even the seller is willing to stand behind and say, yes, we've confirmed this. There's nothing that I can see. It's just the CDC, which is a criminal front. Let's just be honest. The CDC is a criminal cartel, just harvesting snot, labeling it COVID, and then stuffing, you know, the gene banks and everything with these sequences, which are probably just the common cold or just variations of the common cold, which is mutating all the time. It seems like COVID-19 is nothing but really, you know, the 2020 common cold, just rebranded. And that's it. They just called it COVID. And that's why, even according to the CDC, a paper they published, seasonal flu, which you may call the common cold. When we say flu, it doesn't always mean just influenza, by the way. Seasonal flu, which could be influenza or coronavirus strains, seasonal flu plummeted 76% in 2020. How did that happen? Because it was all just relabeled COVID. And again, if you are a lab and you're trying to find the truth about this, which is what I'm trying to do, and you try to buy certified reference materials, you end up in this circular logic loop where it's just snot that came from the CDC and the CDC called it COVID, but they didn't have anything to test it against because there wasn't any material, because nothing existed except the CDC's snot sample, which they labeled COVID, which was then used. You know, it's like circle, circle, circle. And then to get as many positives, they just crank up the PCR instruments and say, oh, we found it here and here and here. It's all false positives. And even if it's a legit positive, they're only matching whatever is probably just common cold material. Now, the spike protein is a different story. The spike protein is a very dangerous, toxic nanoparticle bioweapon that's being inserted into the vaccines. So I hope I'm being clear about the distinction here. I'm not at all saying that viruses don't exist. I've said here many times, viruses do exist. Common cold and flu viruses do exist. And they mutate and change every year. And that's probably all this is. And the spike protein is very real. And the spike protein has probably been dumped on cities like New York City. And it's definitely been put into the vaccines. Heck, for all we know, China dumped a bunch of spike protein via drones. Just flew around dropping, you know, nanoparticles. Or they put it in solution, just sprayed it all over their own cities. Remember those spray trucks that were running around China spraying everything? What if those were just aerosolizing spike protein nanoparticles in solution to kill everybody off? Would China do that to foment some kind of massive fraud on the West? Absolutely they would. And we saw those Chinese agents on video running around the United States, like infecting things in an Apple store, just, you know, spreading toxic particles and, you know, spike protein everywhere, just spreading spike protein. All it takes is a couple of drones over Northern Italy or New York City, mission accomplished. They don't even need a virus. You just do it with a spike protein. And then the media and the CDC push mass hysteria over the common cold. Now, look, correct me if I'm wrong here. I'm asking for your help. We don't know all the answers here yet. So just a disclaimer, I'm still looking for certified reference materials of this, and so far I haven't found them. And I thank the reader who sent this information in, because at first glance, it looks like it's COVID-19 isolate, but actually it isn't. It's the snot stew that we're talking about. And there's no way to confirm that it's got, you know, any specific concentration of viruses or anything. So you can't use it. It's useless in instruments if you want to follow any kind of legitimate scientific protocol to know for sure what you're looking at and how much of it you're looking at, because the viral load matters. One virus doesn't make you sick. You could have one, you know, Ebola virus in your system. It doesn't make you sick. Doesn't mean you have Ebola. You know how much stuff you have in your system? Remember when those parents had their children wear those masks for a few days or just a few hours, and they sent the masks off for laboratory analysis to find out what was in them? And it was everything. It was like tuberculosis and, you know, Legionnaire's disease and all this stuff. And sure enough, those were all the microbes that cause all those diseases, obviously came out of the children's mouths. So why don't those children, quote, have tuberculosis? Why aren't they sick with Legionnaire's disease and all these other things? Because the presence of the microbe alone doesn't equal illness, doesn't make you sick. And that's why all of this testing and saying, oh, you tested positive for COVID, it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean you're sick. Without symptoms, there's no sickness. You got to have symptoms first. And then if you're diagnosed as being sick with the symptoms, then yeah, they could take a blood test. And if they could isolate a virus out of your blood and say, oh, this virus is responsible for your sickness, and it was present in your blood at, you know, X nanograms per deciliter of blood, let's say. And then if they could take that isolated virus and they could run a test and infect mice with it, and the mice got sick, well, that would be conclusive. That, you know, or at least strong evidence, right? That would be you would say legitimate science. So yeah, there's a substance in the person's blood. It's present in large quantities. The person was symptomatic. They got sick. We filtered the substance out of their blood. We injected it into mice, and those mice got sick with similar symptoms. So we can conclude this substance is causing the illness. But none of that has happened. None of that has happened. They're not filtering it out. Now, I'm not even sure. But again, I'm not a virologist, but I'm not even sure how you would filter out viruses one from another. How do you, and maybe this is the whole problem. You know, how do you take someone's blood and there's, you know, 5,000 virus particles in there, let's say. It's probably not far off from reality, or it might be more like, you know, 100,000, but whatever. Let's say you got 5,000 viral particles in your blood. How do you build a filter that filters out 4,999 of them and only leaves behind, quote, COVID-19? Obviously, it couldn't be a physical filter because the particles are very small and they're all very similar sizes. It would have to be some kind of process to isolate. But I'm not sure that exists. I mean, you tell me, are you aware of any technology that you can take a sample of a liquid, even just out of a toilet or something, toilet water, right out of Idiocracy. Can you take toilet water and drip it into something and it's going to filter out and just isolate one virus? I don't think that exists. Just saying. I mean, I don't have all the answers, but I'm very skeptical that any such thing exists. I don't think there is a filter that can do that. Now, I know there are some pretty clever, like, pesticide molecule locking systems. We use these in mass spec. There's some sort of carbon nanotubes. It's a material that we add. It's called EMR, by the way. It's a material that we add to the sample prep for pesticide analysis, and it pulls out certain types of pesticide molecules. And there are ways to filter out polar versus nonpolar molecules and to filter out molecules based on the length of their carbon chains and so on. So maybe there is some kind of method that I've just never heard of yet, but I'm still looking for it. You tell me, have you heard of a COVID-19 filter? I haven't. So I don't know how they think they've isolated this thing. And if you haven't isolated it, you don't know what you're working with. You know, period. I mean, it's just basic science. This is science 101 here. Now, look, final disclaimer, maybe at some point there's going to be some certified reference material that pops up and it's a known concentration and it's all isolated COVID particles. If that happens, you know, I'll be impressed. And I'm open to that happening. I just haven't seen it yet. So it's possible I could stand corrected on this, and I'm saying that up front. Again, I'm not a virologist. I don't run PCR instruments. So there are people out there who know a lot more than I do. And in fact, I'm going to talk to one of them later today and ask her these questions and see what she says. But from what I know right now, there is nothing that is a legitimate certified reference material of COVID with a known concentration that is confirmed even by the company selling it. Basically, what you're buying with this stuff is just vials of cultured snot mixed with cow blood and human infected, you know, pus and other things. That's pretty much what's out there. So if you want to be in the business of selling snot and pus and blood, you should get into virology because apparently it's a very lucrative business. Why not add like urine to it and poop and everything? You just, everything that comes out of the body, you can put it in a vial, call it something, call it a disease, and sell that stuff. That's what an industry. Unreal. I'm so glad I'm focused in the food science business and not crazy crap that's in people's blood and pus cells and everything and snot. Oh man, I'm sticking with food. Okay. But thanks for listening. Thanks for being open to this. And again, if I've made any errors here, I apologize in advance. I'm only trying to get to the truth. I'm only trying to understand why there are no certified reference materials here. And perhaps I'll be corrected at some point on this, but I've been looking. So far, nothing. So help me find this, and I'll post an update about it. If we can find something that's legit, we'll post it. All right. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, Brighteon.com. Thanks for listening.